Hey, Vikings fans, welcome back to Winter Park. It's another edition of an off-season version of Between the Lines with Voice of the Vikings, Paul Allen, and yours truly, Mike Wobshaw of the Vikings Entertainment Network. We've saved our NFC North preview, the worst for last. The Green Bay Packers, our bitter, heated division rival, a team we do have a lot of respect for, the only other playoff team from the NFC North. They earned it as a wild card. The Vikings won the division because of a dramatic and emotional Week 17 victory over the Packers at Lambeau Field. That game was a lot of fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, and a great Lambeau leap attempt by me into the crowd, where my vertical was like that. I had five beers spilt on me, and Wobby was admonished by operations guy at Lambeau Field, where he actually took his arm and said, hey, get out of there.
He forced me from the field.
So then Wobby said, don't you know who I am? I'm NBA Commissioner Adam Silver. I absolutely have a right to be on the field. And the guy said, I'm sorry.
Right, I was a special guest.
Make the Bucks better.
Now, how's your knee doing? Because we know you injured your knee on that Lambeau leap.
Okay, I have a confession. I didn't injure my knee on the Lambeau leap. It's just being that old, my vertical was that bad that I had to pin it on something. It was terrible. It was embarrassing. But I was super excited the Vikings won the game, and that's all that matters.
Speaking of injured knees, it was an injured knee to Jordy Nelson that really helped shape the season for the Packers last year. An unfortunate injury to Jordy. You never like to see players get hurt, regardless of how good they are, and that was a tough one for the Packers. And for Jordy, it knocked him out for the whole season, and I think it affected their offense.
Big time. And you know what? Major credit to the Green Bay Packers for winning as many games as they did without Jordy Nelson on offense. Mm-hmm. If you do a deep dive on the Packers offense and you kind of look at what Eddie Lacy went through last year, the fact that Aaron Rodgers worked from under center more than really he had in the previous 5 years, Randall Cobb's productivity came down. I think one of the most telling stats for the Packers not having Jordy Nelson is they only completed 6 passes at 40 yards or more.
Wow.
And that was tied for 29th in the NFL. That's not a Mike McCarthy, Aaron Rodgers-esque type season. So with Jordy back, I think it's fair to wonder what Jordy's going to look like until you see him dominate the way he used to dominate. But if he does, then that means they're going to stretch the field like they used to, and that's going to make them more lethal.
You know, one thing I want to say about Jordy is I know a lot of people during the pre-draft process with Laquon Treadwell and some of these wide receivers, when they don't have a blazing 40 time, a lot of people get down on those receivers. You know, and the one thing about that is no matter how fast you are, over time, speed is going to leave you.
Yeah.
But technique, sure hands, good route running, that will never leave you. And
great.
I think that's what Jordy Nelson is. So even though he's coming off an ACL, and some might question whether he's going to have that pop or not, I don't really think it matters. I think he's such a good route runner and so sure-handed, and he has such a good rapport with Aaron Rodgers that he's going to be good this year.
Well, Green Bay had massive problems last year on the offensive line nearing the end of the season. In fact, when the Vikings beat the Packers at Lambeau to win the division, left guard Josh Sitton was the starting left tackle.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it came to that. Rodgers was going under center. I would never say anything negative about Aaron Rodgers. Quite honestly, I think he's the best overall quarterback in the NFL. But he was a little more skittish in the pocket than I really had ever seen Aaron Rodgers. So if the offensive line protects better, they go out a shotgun, they spread out 4 and 5 wide, and that's when you need to deal with Jordy. Jordy is a technician with everything he does. He's a perfectionist. When he's on his game, I think he's the best sideline receiver when it comes to catching passes at the boundary of any receiver in the NFL. So this is a major, major thing for Green Bay.
I think Jared Aberderius and Devontae Adams and Ty Montgomery, all those guys were asked to step up big time. It did not pan out perfectly for Green Bay. I mean, they still made the playoffs.
Yeah.
But now that you have Jordy back, Randall Cobb goes back to his normal spot, a number two type of receiver, operating out of the slot a bunch. You know, the wide receiver core is in so much better shape with Jordy being back. They've added Jared Cook. If he's healthy, he could be a factor as well. Offensive line issues aside, all of those guys come back. They added Jason Spriggs as a draft pick. So, I don't think you worry about the offense when it comes to the Green Bay Packers.
I don't worry about the offense as long as number 12 is a quarterback because he's as good as anybody in the NFL at working around problems. You know, defensively, last year, Green Bay allowed 14 passes at 40 yards or more.
Mm-hmm.
14 times, which made them one of the worst in the NFL at allowing the deep game to really impact them. And you may say it's only 14 at 40 plus, but that's about one a game.
Yeah.
And if it takes place at a key point in the game, it's incredibly deflating. I think a key for Green Bay's defense, Wobby, is having the ability to move Clay Matthews back outside.
Yes.
You know, I think Clay can do anything and can do it well. As an inside linebacker, I thought he was good to very good. On the outside, he's Hall of Fame.
He's special.
Potentially elite.
Yeah.
So getting him back out there and getting more of a pass rush, that only will help.
Now, this is a really deep dive on Green Bay's defense. A big thing for them, if you listen to the fans or media talking about Green Bay, was we got to find a way to get Clay back outside, just as Paul mentioned. Now, they didn't go sign a stud inside linebacker who can push him up, but what they did do is they locked up their defensive line and they drafted for their defensive line. And we all know when you are stout up front, especially at defensive tackle, that really helps your linebackers. And I think the thinking there is we draft Kenny Clark out of UCLA. We lock up Mike Daniels. We're going to be stout inside. That will allow our existing inside linebackers to be good enough to push Clay back to the outside.
Yeah, I agree. And after the second wave, when you get to that third wave, the second-year cornerback, Demaryius Randall, has a chance to be a star.
Yes.
Demaryius was fantastic last year, and I'm curious to see how much he takes off from a wonderful rookie season. He's physical. He's fast. I love everything about his game. So Green Bay is the team to beat in the NFC North. Now, if we are working for the PEN, the Packers Entertainment Network, they should be saying the Vikings are the team to beat in the NFC North. These two teams hit the wire together last year, separated by noses. The Vikings got that nose down first, won the division. Minnesota absolutely can win the division again. And quite honestly, roster for roster, I would say should be favored to win the division. But anytime you got number 12 at quarterback, Wobby, I mean, the whole thing goes through him.
Yeah, he can cover up a lot of errors.
Everything.
Or deficiencies. Now, when it comes to Vikings versus Packers games this year, it's going to be a lot of fun. It always is, but it especially will be this year. Week 2 is the Vikings' home opener.
It's awesome.
Sunday Night Football. Al Michaels, Chris Collinsworth, Michelle Tafoya, Mike
Paul
Tirico,
Allen, Pete Bursich.
Right. All in the house at U.S. Bank Stadium for the first regular season game against the Green Bay Packers. That will be a ton of fun. And then we get Christmas Eve in Lambeau. Mm. We can spoil Christmas for the Green Bay Packers by getting another late season victory at Lambeau Field. Our two games against Green Bay will be a lot of fun this year.
Yeah, and that game at Lambeau, Packers fans, we owe you for 2004 because Green Bay beat Minnesota two times, 34-31, on Ryan Longwell walk-off winners, including once on Christmas Eve. I got home at like 7 o'clock that day, and I was the Grinch, and I got kids, and it was awful. So now it's time for us, from Wausau to Green Bay to every single town in between, we need to make you rethink the joy of Christmas with the butt-whooping the purple and gold just put on your football team.
We just put a review on the NFC North, and we put a cap on it by talking about the Green Bay Packers.
Sorry, Mr. Spielman.
So the off-season editions of Between the Lines, the division preview series, they are over now. We've previewed all three teams heading into training camp.
Sorry, Mr. Zimmer.
You better buckle up because training camp is right around the corner. The best way to stay on top of all the Vikings news is to listen to PA's radio show.
9 to noon.
On 100.3 FM KFAN. And also to download the Vikings app, because everything we put up on the website or on social media will be delivered straight to your mobile phone when you have the Vikings app. Make sure you go to the iTunes store right now and download it. That's it for this edition of Between the Lines.